of what's around. Your spirit's moving here and now, and I don't want to miss your presence.
Good morning. Good to see everybody today. Good looking crowd. We appreciate everybody coming out to worship with us. Got a lot of stuff going on that we'll fill you in on a little bit later when after we take the offering up and do the announcements. But today we're celebrating the youth and praying over our children as well at the end of service. And so what we thought we would do is flip. Usually we do Youth Sunday on the fourth Sunday where the youth come up and lead the service. But considering what we's doing today with the back-to-school blessing and things of that nature, we thought we would invert that and sort of bring it to this Sunday. So this is the day that the youth are going to lead the service. And so we ask everybody, if they would, to stand with us. And let's get ready to worship the Lord with the youth here this morning. And can we just start off by giving, look around and give God a big hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen.
Just believe on me. For the scripture said it.
Scripture said it.
The word of God said it.
Scripture said it.
Out of your belly.
Out of your
innermost being.
Out of your belly.
Out of your belly.
Out of your belly.
Out of your belly.
Flow,
flow, flow.
Flow,
I've got the rivers,
of living water.
I've got rivers of
the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me. Said,
you should have been there when I came through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost
from the top
too.
Of my head to the sole of my feet. Said, I felt the Spirit moving all over. Felt the Spirit moving all over me. Said,
you should have been there when I came through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost.
From the top of my head, the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving.
blood for me, Jesus, on Calvary. Thank you for being born for me, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For loving me so.
Never, never, never know.
For loving me so, yeah.
Thank you for your blood, yeah.
The power.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Look at two or three people and tell them, praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Let's worship Him just a moment this morning. Father, we're so grateful, Lord God, and thankful, God, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We praise you, God, and magnify your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. We praise you, God, and magnify your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we worship you, God. We magnify your holy name, God. Great is name, God, and greatly to be praised. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, we glorify you and magnify you and put you above all, Lord. We thank you, Father, and praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many is grateful for the Spirit of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Give Him a hand clap of praise and appreciation. Amen. God is so good, and a good looking crowd this morning. Just and how about Jeffrey and the team there leading us in worship this morning? And man, I truly believe they put all they have into it, and it shows. And I don't know how they do it. I'd pass out probably after. I don't know how many of you was here last week, but been a while since I ran. I ran for the first time in a while last week, and I had one lap in me, and that was about it. I'm just grateful for the one lap, amen. But God is good, and He is moving, and so encouraging to see everybody out this morning, and to know that even we got other babies in the nurseries in the back there as well, and excited about today, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. We've got a big child dedication today. I know a lot of times we dedicate babies and children as well, and so many, for whatever the reason, maybe didn't get their baby dedicated, and so they wanted to dedicate their child, and we're tickled to do that today as we celebrate, back to school. We're going to pray over those children as they go back to school at the end and sort of pray a hedge of protection over them. I know if you probably work in the school system, if you're like my wife, she's been in sackcloth and ashes for the last week. She's sitting in sackcloth with the ashes on her head like she's full out Old Testament mourning for the last week there, getting ready to go back to work. But just part of it. Seasons roll on, and it's good to see them grow up and do their thing. We're going to talk to you a little bit about that as we go this morning. But now we want to wait on you, if you would. We're going to worship in our tithe and offering, if the ushers would come. And we're going to wait on you for your tithe and offering. Then we're going to watch a little video here, the clips of some of the things that God's doing here at the church. Do we have any ushers this morning? We're going to watch a little clip of what of all that God's doing this morning with the families here at the church. And I'm really big on, and I may say this again just so everybody hears me, it's probably one of the greatest compliments I could say that I've had since I started leading the church, and that is somebody told me one time, said, you talk about the next generation and you talk about children probably more than anybody I've ever heard. It's probably one of the greatest compliments maybe that I've ever got as a leader, because that's how much I believe in the next generation, and we like to celebrate that, and we're going to do that today as well. And we could not do any of that without the giving of the people to do ministry. Everything that you see is because of you and your giving, and we appreciate that. And we want you to just bow your heads just for a moment, if you will, and let's pray over our offering this morning in tithe. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful for each and every individual that's here this morning, come to gather to lift up your name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the tithe and the offering, the blessing that you give so that we can be about your business and can uplift and build your kingdom. And Father, we know, God, that you are going to bless those who have to give, those who do not have to give. Father, we thank you, Lord, and praise you for all of your blessings, and ask, God, that everything be used for the uplift and build of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And we feel at home at Mallory Church of God. We feel wanted. We feel welcomed. We feel just very blessed to have been welcomed into our house of worship. We can't say enough good things about Pastor Sean.
sending Jesus to school with our kids that starts at home. Our job is to model a relationship with Jesus for them, even in the middle of the chaos, even in the middle of the morning rush. They need to see us pray instead of panic, and they need to hear us speak words of life over them before they walk out the door.
Reed and Maddie both said that their favorite part is going and seeing Katie and seeing Miss Lisa. They have gained a whole new family. We have gained a whole new family. We love the groups. We've seen personal growth in our own lives.
Mallory Church of God has a really good environment. They're very loving. They're very caring. Our kids love coming, to the point where they're asking us if we can come every single day. And they just want to be there and be with everybody that's there. They let you know that you are wanted.
Amen. Amen. That's good. They sent me that, and I said, well, the kids are certainly the stars of those videos. And it sort of sums up maybe our church, you know, with the kids. And you always hear them, and I love it. I absolutely love to hear the children and everybody. I remember when Jeffrey and them went to Winterfest for the weekend, it was almost like the empty nest syndrome. You couldn't hear anything through the church. And I told him, I texted him, I said, man, I want you to know that we missed you and the whole bunch, because it sounds like just a bunch of old people just retired, sitting at the house with nothing, with no children. And so it's great. We love when we do gatherings at the house and they come over and the kids run and run and run in that big old place. And love to be around them, love to see the life. And how many of you know that's not the future of your church? That is your church, really. The lifeline of your church is children there, and it's great to see that and all the kids on the video there. I'm surprised, which Jet probably ain't in here, I'm surprised we kept him in his seat when Annie was up on the screen there. Those two, I'm telling you, man, they're destined to be married, I believe. I opened the back door this morning and they was already holding hands coming in the door. I said, man, they couldn't even wait till they got in the building this time. So, but they've sort of struck on each other, I think. It's just wonderful to see. And so many kids that we've watched grow up over the years here. I think this October makes about 20 years that we've been here and been blessed to see those grow up and watch them grow up. Now they're serving here at the church. And man, what a blessing it is to be able to see that. And we want to talk to you a little bit about children this morning before we dedicate a bunch and then pray over a whole bunch to send them back to school. And I wanted to start out a little bit with it's sort of an odd story, I guess you would say, in the Old Testament. And the idea that I don't know anybody in here who doesn't sort of want their children to, and we use this term all the time around here, we want them to turn out right. Right? Like, that's how we describe a child that's grown, is we want them to turn out right. In other words, we want them to fly true. We want them to be able to stand on their own feet. And it's something special whenever, and we'll get to that point in just a few minutes, where that we're allowed to let them go and see what they do in life. But there's a story in the Old Testament, and it's about an old dying prophet by the name of Elisha. And this prophet had called down fire and raised the widow's son and sort of wore the mantle that Elijah had passed to him. And on his deathbed, he calls the king of Israel in, and the king of Israel is mourning Elisha's passing because he recognizes that this is the death of one of the greatest leaders that Israel has, and really he's the spiritual leader at the time. And so the king recognizes that, and he's weeping over Elisha, and he cries out, "My father, my father." And Elisha doesn't console him. This is what I find interesting. He doesn't wrap his arms around him and tell him everything's going to be all right. He sort of nudges him, and he says, "Go get a bow and some arrows." And the king goes and gets some bows and arrows. He said, "Now throw that window open and pull that arrow back and launch it." And the king and the prophet lays his head on the king as he does that in a way of symbolic direction. In other words, the prophet now, he's past his years. He's getting ready to go on and be with the Lord. And he doesn't have the strength, but he knows the next generation needs to carry on the statutes of God. And what he's trying to do is somewhat give a prophecy here if you will, about victory over Syria. And so the king takes the arrows and he draws it back and he shoots them and he begins to prophesy. And Elisha says, here, take these arrows. And he gives him a quiver full of arrows and he says, strike the ground. And he takes the arrows and he hits it three times. And then he stops. Nobody knows why he stops. The scripture doesn't say why he stops. I would imagine he may have even felt a little bit silly at such a command to take those arrows and hit them on the ground. So he does it three times and then he stops and he puts the arrows up and the old prophet rebukes him. He says, you quit before it was time. There should have been more that you've done, and now because of that, you'll not overcome Syria. All you're going to do is fight against them, and you're going to hold them off. You're not going to conquer them. You're just going to hold them off. When you had the opportunity, if you would have finished with the arrows, to conquer. Can I tell you, a lot of times, the church, maybe families, we do what we do, but we leave a little bit on the table. And what I mean by that is, we've got these arrows called children. Did you know that's what the Bible calls your children, and a heritage of the Lord, like arrows in the quiver of a man? And so we've got these arrows, but so many times what happens is we sort of fall short. We don't finish the job. Maybe we start well, but we don't always finish the job. And here's what I mean by that is, and you've heard me say this time and time again, if you've been here and heard me talk about children and how I see the next generation, sometimes if we're not careful, our objective as parents and as a church is to make sure that our children just don't get caught up in the bad stuff. That's the goal. That's the achievement. We think if we get them through school and they don't get caught up in the bad stuff, then we've conquered, we've won. And I've always said if we do that, it's like us striking the ground three times and stopping. I don't think our children should just make it through the school system untainted by the world. I think they should go in and be a light to others that are around them. We need to quit protecting them so much in that we're so scared that they're going to be tainted by the world. We need to do this, build a foundation strong enough and big enough to send them out and say, here, you're going to be untainted, you're going to be in touch by the world, but not only that, you are going to be able to go forth and to minister and to touch those. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just see a revival of children that serve the Lord here go to school and never talk about Jesus. But I want to see children that are raised up and arrows for the Lord that not only just survive, but they thrive and they conquer. Because if we're going to turn this thing around, it's going to be with that generation that does their job. And they can do far more than what we allow them to do right now. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So many times we sort of fall short. We stop short of doing what we sort of do what the king done. We don't sort of finish the job, if you will. And so Psalms 127:3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And so we're going to talk to you about your children this morning and how they are like that arrow and how that arrow shaped and what we're to do with that arrow as well. I think one of the key concepts that we've got to get here is that first off, our children belong to the Lord. I'm going to say that again because I think we all amen it, but at the same time, do we all truly understand it? Our children belong to the Lord. And I remember saying this, and a mom told me one time, she said, I heard you say that. And she said, I tried to pray that, and I could not. But the grandmother said, that's okay, I prayed it. But I told them I prayed when my children were born. You may think I'm crazy, and that's okay. The day my children were born, I said, Lord, I believe that you know the end from the beginning. I believe you are in control of everything in this child's life. And here's what I prayed. God, if you see that they're going to stray
and I'm going to spend eternity without this child, please, before it knows right from wrong, will you take him home to be with the Lord, be with you? You might go, I sincerely prayed that over both of my children. You know why? I understand that they don't belong to me and Kelly. They belong to the Lord. And eternity is so vast, and this world is just a drop in the bucket. That's how much I believe in that child belonging to the Lord. Listen, you're just a steward of that child. He's allowed you to have that child, to groom that child, to raise that child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But it belongs to the Lord. You might say that's a little bit discouraging. To me, it's encouraging because I believe this. When these parents dedicate their child back to the Lord this morning, I know this. Paul said, anything that I give back to him, whatever I commit to the Lord, he will keep against that day. I don't know about you, but I take solace in the fact that I know my children belong to the Lord. They didn't belong to me. And so we need to understand that if they belong to the Lord and we're just stewards of them, here's the first thing that we got to stop if we're going to do these arrows correct and let them fly. We've got to stop measuring achievements. Listen, everybody likes to brag on their children. Don't get me wrong. And there's nothing wrong with that. But one of the biggest traps of the enemy, and what I mean by that, not bragging on them, that's okay. Celebrating their achievements, absolutely 110%. But we've got to quit comparing one child to the next. When you realize that your children are a gift of the Lord and they belong to Him, every child in its own way has something special that God has placed on the inside of that child. We need to quit comparing child against child and understand that God made that child in a specific way and formed them and gave them a special gift. And I believe with all my heart, no matter what their age is, God placed something on the inside of them, and we have to allow them to grow and mature, and if you will, work on that arrow and straighten it out, sort of making sure that it's going to fly right whenever we get ready to release it, which some of us struggle with, that we'll talk about in a few. You didn't even really shape the arrow, the shaft, if you will. It was sent to you with a special something on the inside of it. God made that child in a way, and it says that they are a heritage of the Lord. If you look that word up, it literally means it's allotted to you for a certain period, but you don't own it. It's almost like if you lease a piece of land or property or building. In the Old Testament, they use the same word. What it was saying is that that child doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. He only allows you to have that child for a season. And so we have to shape that child. You know, every 50 years, the land that was given would go back to the original owner so it would stay in the family line. And I need you to understand that just like that with our children, they belong to God and we should devote them to Him first and foremost. They're not a possession, not even an achievement. You were just given the call to shape and hand over what God has placed in your quiver. It's a good application when you're dealing with a child, helping raise a child right now, whether you're a mother or grandfather or whatever, grandmother, before you get ready to talk to that child, let me give you a piece of advice. Pray a little bit and say, God, this child belongs to you. They're not mine, belongs to you. You tell me, you instruct me, you give me the wisdom to be able to handle this situation, and I believe He'll do that because those children our reward that He's given you. So just stop this week. Just for 1 week, stop comparing. Stop looking at the neighbor's kid and thinking, man, this, that. Stop taking possession and go, you know what, God? I understand that they do not belong to me, but they belong to you. And I'm here to be a steward over them. So many times, though, we mistake this loan that he gives us as a deed. We think we own them. We think we've sort of settled on the fact that they belong to us, but they indeed belong to the Lord. And the thing is, he's commissioned us to work with that arrow so that when we turn it loose, they turn out right and they fly straight. But that straightening doesn't happen just by that arrow sitting there. There's friction that takes place. The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And when we shape those arrows, when we make those arrows, I need you to understand that there's friction there that's going to take place. Can I get practical with you just a minute? And I hope I don't make anybody mad, but your child doesn't need you as a friend. They need you as a parent. They need direction. They need to hear no sometimes. They need to understand what it is to have a parent that loves them enough to see them upset because you've said no, because you know it's for their good. You know why? Because God operates just like that in our lives. They need to see us raising them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 through 7 talks about that. It says, "Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. These commands I give to you, and you'll teach them diligently to your children. You'll talk about them when you sit in the house, when you walk, when you lay down, when you rise up." God was saying every part of their life they need to have the scripture woven into. It's just not Sunday morning. Now, let me tell you something. They need to be in service every chance they get to allow them to grow and hear the word of God. But it's so much more than that. And it starts at home, just as Nicole said on the video. It starts at home and it should be woven into their childhood in every piece. Just not on Sunday morning, but Tuesday evening when they come home with a situation from school. It should be handled according to the scripture. Teach them diligently. That means to sharpen or to pierce. We got to guide them and lead them. Just as the prophet laid his hands on the king's head to direct and guide, we have that obligation to do that for our children. Discipleship has to take place, not just a lecture. So just one day this week, pick a meal when you're sitting down eating and talk about one verse of the Bible. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Take one verse of the Bible. Ask your child about it. Talk about it. Say, hey, what'd you learn in Sunday school? What'd you learn in Connect Kids? And see what they say. Or ask them this. Where did you see God today? That God sighting. Where did you see God today? Because there's no exception to where they need to learn about the Lord. He said it's when you lay down, it's when you get up, it's when you walk, it's when you sit. It was continually to be first and foremost. It wasn't just about one dramatic strike, if you will. And this is what I'm talking about. When the king took and struck it three times and then stopped. If your child only learns about Jesus here at church, you know what you are? You're the old guy taking the arrows and striking three times and stopping. I would implore you, finish the job. Take what the church gives you and encourage that child. Teach that child. Raise that child up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Take those in-between moments. Man, I know what it's like to raise kids and play ball. And man, you go everywhere. I tell you a funny story. And you know me, when I get locked in on something, you've heard me say that I've done some of the craziest stuff in the world. I think I shared the story one time where I done a funeral and we didn't have anybody to lead the procession, so I had to do it. Man, I just preached. My brain was fried. Funerals are hard for me. And I used to, every morning, I worked at Guy Machinery Company for years, and every morning I got a ham, egg, and cheese sandwich at the cliffside. Every morning. They knew I was coming. Ham, egg, and cheese. I didn't get this body by not eating ham, egg, and cheese. You know what I'm saying? Man, I was a ham, egg, and cheese guy. I get out of that funeral, I'm leading that procession. I get to the place where you cut off the cliffside. You know what I do? I put my signal on, Jeremiah, and I pull in there, and everybody follows me. New roads up here, I'm taking everybody by the cliffside to get a ham, egg, and cheese sandwich. I mean, my mind's fried, right? We're coming down by the cliffside, and I think, oh my gosh, it's a good thing I woke up right in time, or we'd all been in the way at drive-thru. I never will forget it. We got down to the graveyard. Vicky got out and went, like, what'd you take me the detour for? But I went to sleep in my mind. One other time, I remember, and I'm telling you that to sort of illustrate this. I know what it's like to run with children. I remember pulling into the high school softball game one time and not even realizing what was going on. My children were young. I thought Emily had a ball game, but Micah had a ball game. And I was pastoring church and doing this, doing that, and running back and forth. I pulled in. They tried to charge me $5. And I said, man, y'all charging for the little kids' games now? And the person at the ticket booth went, huh? I said, I'm here for the little girl softball game. And he said, there's a high school game going on. I looked over there. I looked down at my shirt, and it was my Little League shirt. I said, never mind, I'm at the wrong field. I'm supposed to be coaching Micah here, not Emily. And I said that to say this. I understand what it's like to run. Use those times that you run to talk about the Lord. In your car, you don't have to set aside time. Do it in the car. Take those times. Don't shelter them from the questions they have. Let them ask. If you don't know, say, it's a great question. When we get home tonight or tomorrow, when we got time, we'll get the scripture out and we'll talk about that. Take those in-between times and understand that you can disciple on Tuesday morning at 7:15, getting ready for school, as much as you can disciple at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning in Sunday school. That's how you straighten that arrow, if you will. So we're forging, we're sharpening. We get this thing ready to go. We sharpen this arrow up, but then here comes the hard part. We got to pull that bow back. Oh, and everybody say it with me. We got to let them go. Y'all with me? Who is it? Let it go. Elsa, who is it? Elsa. I learned that for softball pitching. Teaching girls to not push it and just let it go. Let it go. I think we need a movie where the parents sort of get the theme song, let them go. Let them go. I hope I don't upset nobody. But if you raise them correctly, you do your job, and you get them ready for the world, one of the greatest things that you can feel is when you let them go. They're flying straight. I remember when Micah first went off to college, and for the first time, we was an empty nest. Me and Kelly sitting on the couch watching TV, and we love our children. We sitting on the couch watching TV, and she looked over at me and she said, are we supposed to feel bad? I said, I don't know, but I don't. If I'm wrong, I don't want to be right. Right? And what I mean by that is we loved our children, love when they come around. But there's something about when a child is raised correctly and doing their own thing, standing on their own two feet. I'm going to tell you something. It's one of the greatest senses of accomplishment that you can have as a parent, is to know that you have let them go and now they're out in the world doing their thing, and you let them do their thing and you don't butt in. If they want to ask you for advice, they'll ask you. Allow them to live their life just like you lived yours. But it's so hard, and we mistakenly get in front of them and living their life. Don't mean to, but we're well-meaning and we want to protect them. But the fact of the matter is, we got to let them go. And so many times when we're raising them, I'm going to close just in a few minutes, but I want you to hear this. So many times when we're raising them, we inadvertently become a gatekeeper but keeps them from the presence of the Lord. Mark chapter 10, there's three verses of Scripture, verses 13 through 16. It says this, they were bringing children to him, talking about Jesus, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. Now let me stop right there and tell you, Jesus flipped the social life of Israel upside down. A child was a possession. A child had no rights. A child was just considered property. A child didn't have anything that anybody wanted to hear from them. They were just there to work, and when they get old enough, be part of the family, those types of things. And Jesus, he flips that around when he says, hey, do not rebuke them. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was indignant. He was mad because somebody tried to stop those children from getting to him. He said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to teach that unless you become as a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Notice what he says, do not hinder them. In all their well-meaning, they become a gatekeeper, keeping those children from Jesus. I'm going to say something that's a little bit hard. As we raise our children inadvertently, sometimes, even in a well-meaning way, we become a gatekeeper. And we don't even mean to, but we keep them from Jesus. Here's what I mean by that. We don't stay spiritually in tune. Listen, if you're going to raise your child, and it's just the fact of the matter, some people say you shouldn't preach like that with that many people here, but it's just the way it is. If you don't keep yourself in check, and at Tuesday morning at 7:30 when the world's going wrong, and you act a certain way, there's no way you're going to disciple that child in the way that he or she could go. You got to keep yourself in check. We inadvertently become the gatekeeper. Sometimes we do it with well-meaning stuff. Listen to me. My children played ball. They were into everything else. But listen, if they were there, hey, Emily played ball. We played ball all over the East Coast. But if we were in town, we didn't miss church. And I tell you, there's a reason that she's here singing in the choir. She played ball. I remember she schooled me on that one time. She was going to play ball on a Wednesday night, the first Wednesday night game they had. And it messed with my mind. I said, why do they do it on Wednesdays? She said, I don't know. She started crying. She said, but Daddy, I love Jesus. I've been baptized. And I just want to play ball tonight. You know what I mean? And I thought, I've got to balance this thing. I've got to capitalize on the fact that she loves Jesus. She also likes to do this extracurricular activity. Are y'all with me? You got to find that balance. Let them do things. But when they're not doing those things, make sure that you make the house of God the first priority. Make sure that if they're on a ball field, you pray or whatever, Sunday school, all those things. We need to make sure that there's balance there and that there's an understanding that they do not belong to us, they belong to God. And first and foremost, before we make them great at anything else, we need to make them and introduce them to Jesus Christ, the Savior, and make sure that, number one, they become a great individual before we ever worry about anything else they do. So many times, inadvertently, in our traditions, we become a gatekeeper. I'm going to say this about the church as a whole, then we're going to call this thing to a close. The church, over the years, inadvertently, has become a gatekeeper. Children. We like to shove them somewhere. Want to make sure that they're somewhere or whatever. A lot of churches don't even do anything with children. And all these are, maybe they don't have children and all these other things. The church in large part, has become a gatekeeper, and they keep the children from Jesus. But you know what I love about this church? Is we usher them into the presence of the Lord. It's one reason that we have Youth Sunday, because we want them to come out into the sanctuary and see the Spirit of God move. But you know what's great about that? Is even back there, they experience the presence of God. Man, what a children's ministry we got back there. Can we give all of them a hand clap of appreciation? I remember when we were, and this is just an example because it carries on today. This is just a small example, but I remember when we were trying to launch that back there. We asked Michelle to take it over, Michelle and Jeremiah. Very first Sunday, they took it over. Memory serves me correct, first or second. Seen Michelle coming in with a bunch of baby wipes, just out of curiosity. I said, hey, what's all the baby wipes for? She said, we're going to teach them about washing feet. We're going to take these cloths and clean their shoes and teach them about service. And I walked away going, man, we nailed that one. You know what I'm saying? They created a culture back there that carries on today where the children are not just back there being entertained, but they're learning. They're being taught what it is to be a disciple of the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a church that will assist and not become a gatekeeper, but introduce them and take objects out of the way and say, hey, kids, you all got a place at the table. You all belong to the Lord, and we don't want to celebrate you. We want to help you. We don't want to stand in your way. We want to see you not only survive, we want to see you thrive. And I don't know of a parent sitting here this morning, a grandparent sitting here this morning, that don't want the very best for their children. Can I tell you this? The very best for your child is what God and God alone has to offer. It's not what the world offers, but it's what God has to offer. I wonder if you'd bow your heads with me just for a moment. I want to make a plea this morning. If you're here, you don't know Jesus as Savior. You don't know what it is to serve Him, feel His joy, respond out of the presence of the Lord to children, grandchildren. I want you to understand that first and foremost, to make the right impact into that child's life, you've got to be born again. You yourself got to be a child of God. Maybe you've been a child of God and you walked away. You're out of the presence of the Father. Can I tell you something? He loves you just as much as He loves those children. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter what that child does. You may reprimand it. You may correct it. You may punish it. You may teach it right from wrong. But you love that child no matter what. Can I tell you something this morning? No matter where you're at in your relationship with the Lord, God loves you. His desire is to mold you and shape you so that you can help mold and shape those children, grandchildren that God has given you to have an influence in their lives. I know social media and the outside world has such an influence on them once they get so old, but never, never forget the fact that the first things they learn, the first formation they have as a child is going to be taught by the parents and the grandparents and their family. If you're here this morning, you're lost. You don't know Jesus. You need salvation. All you've got to do is pray. Prayer, salvation. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter. You don't have to, you know, so many times people that backslide, they don't feel this, don't feel that, and it's because you're a prodigal. The prodigal didn't feel anything. He just came to his own self and realized he had it better in the Father's house. All you do is say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. You believe that with all your heart, that Jesus died, rose again. And I would challenge you to confess to somebody that you were saved. I'm made to believe that you've got a relationship with the Lord that you can begin to grow in, begin to lead that child, that grandchild, by your influence. Know that they're going to turn out right. Father, we thank you, Lord. Praise you. God, because you've given us your word, you said if we raise up a child in the way it'll go, it'll not err from it. It'll find its way home. Father, we ask, Lord, that children here at the church, as they're part of the church, to help raise them up, fearing the admonition of the Lord. When we get ready, if you tarry, you're coming, and this world stands. When we get ready to lead this church to the next generation, it's my prayer that above all, we leave it better than what we found it. That we raise up leaders, not just followers, but children who understand and know what it is to lead and to be a true disciple of Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you for our children. We thank you for the presence of God. We glorify you and magnify you. Father, we thank you and put your name above all. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a big hand clap of praise and appreciation this morning? Amen. Amen. Now listen, we're going to allow those that have babies, and I think both nurseries have some in them this morning. I think there's probably 15 or 20 in the nurseries back there. We're going to allow those parents to go back and get those children if they want to at this time before we do the dedication this morning. So if you got a child in the nursery, you want to go back and get that child.